Random art tips and rambles with Rafi.
Hola, you amazing artist. It's Rafi.
And Clee.
And today our plan is to talk about the art stock market and how that's going. But before we talk about the art stock market, I think I wanted to address something that I am actually currently going through this morning, which is getting up, being not as productive as I'd like to be, possibly because I made a mistake.
Aww.
Yeah, I made a mistake with one of the orders. The order was supposed to be an 8x10, one of my textured prints, and instead I created a 5x7.
The good thing you did was realize it before it shipped.
Yeah, well, the problem that I'm having and the reason that I'm going through the emotions of feeling upset is that when I printed out the order, I specifically looked at that, made note of the fact that it was an 8x10, and then proceeded to create a 5x7. So, yeah.
So what do you think happened?
I have no idea. All I could do is really evaluate. I mean, I must have had a lot on my mind, which is...
Not a surprise.
No, not a surprise, considering that I've got a whole bunch of things going on. So from this point forward, I think I'll probably mark on there or something just to avoid this in the future. But mostly I want to take a look at where my emotions are right now, because it's not helping me. I'm like walking around like with self-imposed, pissedness at myself.
Well, that's definitely not going to help you at all.
Yeah. So it made me think, you know, and of course we had the podcast scheduled today, so it made me think like, oh, well, maybe I should put off the podcast. And it was almost like this downward spiral. Like, I've got a blog to write. Well, I don't feel like I'm in a good place to write a blog about, you know, feeling positive and powerful. And we're going to do this podcast. And I don't know about that. And it's almost like the rest of my day almost fell into this lump of
nothingness.
Yeah, of nothingness. Almost like, oh, well, you know what? It's already too late. You already messed up today. Then just forget the rest of your day.
Today's a wash.
Yeah, today's a wash. Basically, make it seem like that's it. You messed up and it's all over. And the reason that I'm sharing this morning, because obviously this isn't like a side of me that I'm like, hey, I want all of you guys to know this is what happens with me. You know, the reason I'm sharing this morning is in case you ever experience something like that, maybe it'll help you to acknowledge or to catch yourself in that moment. Because I know that in the past I've had a lot of days where I've got big plans and maybe I woke up late and then all of a sudden it just feels like, well, I wasted the day. You know, you're a big fat loser. Why didn't you get up? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you that? And it's almost like I'll end up making things worse by thinking to myself that the day has been wasted.
Yeah, you predetermine that your day is ruined right off the bat for whatever reason. I think everybody does that to themselves, whether you woke up later than you wanted to, or you have too much on your plate, or you made a mistake in the morning. It's really easy right off the bat to be like, my day is ruined. I'm just going to watch Netflix.
Yeah. So I just wanted to share that with you guys before we get into the art stock market and our beliefs on that. I know that this happens to everybody. I know that sometimes something doesn't go the way that it should go, or that you believed it was going to go, or maybe you made a mistake or you woke up late or whatever the reason is. And instead of sitting there and beating yourself up and just making the situation worse, just acknowledge that, hey, it happened. It's time to move forward. And, you know, you stop. The thing that I did was I stopped, sat down, took a deep breath and said, okay, how can I make this an awesome day right now? Because you do have to stop and you do have to. I think in order to make your days really, really productive and really awesome and really exciting, you do have to set that intention. And even if, especially if you get pulled out of that positive place, that place where you're willing to, you know, go all out and create, and then a wrench gets thrown in there, it's easy to just fall and crawl into a corner and not proceed with your day. And obviously, we all know that then that's a downward spiral, because then that just persists throughout the week and could really, really make it for not a fun time.
Yeah. So I think what you're saying is the trick is to acknowledge the turd in your thinking.
Yeah.
And then take a moment. And then move on with your day.
Yeah, exactly.
And my thing is, like, okay, I'm going to single task my way through this. Let me just handle one thing at a time.
Yeah, exactly. What am I going to take care of right now? Obviously, I'm going to work on that order, and I've got this going on, and I've got that going on, and it's easy to get really, really overwhelmed with all the things that I want to work on today. But I do know that the first thing that needs to go out is the podcast. So that's what we're working on. We're going to record the podcast. I'm going to edit it, put it out there. And then I've got the blog, and then I've got this. So it's a matter of just staying on track with your priorities and really listing them for yourself and defining for yourself, well, what is it that I'm going to work on right now? And what is it that I need to put all my attention on so that your focus isn't split? Because I think that that's what happens when a wrench gets thrown in, your focus gets split, and it's really easy to get unmotivated when that happens.
Yeah, especially if you let it drive you into fight or flight mode of any kind.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so enough about that. So the art stock market, you and I were having a conversation yesterday about the difference between the art market and the art stock market.
And yes, we were indeed. And how interesting it is that the art world is often portrayed as that little art stock market. Yeah, that's the entirety of it.
That 1% or even less than 1% of the art market, which is the high ticket items that they sell at Christie's or at those big galleries.
Yeah, and I jokingly called it the art stock market quite some time ago and it kind of stuck. But I really, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, that really is a stock market.
Oh,
it's an investment. It's all about money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a commodities market. You are purchasing something for a high value, and then you are inflating the value of that item and then reselling that item. And in the meantime, those paintings or that artwork is just sitting
In storage
in some warehouse.
If any of you are unfamiliar with what we're talking about the big art auctions, the Christie's, the Sotheby's, the pieces from the masters that sell for millions of dollars, the unattainable, impossible to break into art world that gets media coverage.
Yeah, that's and unfortunately for a lot of artists when they're first starting out, the only exposure that they've had to the art world is that. And so they think that that is the art world. And in fact, it only accounts for less than 1% of the actual art world. The art world is the people that live in your neighborhood, the person that found you online, just regular people that are purchasing artwork from you.
People appreciating art. The art world is the galleries in your town or a nearby city, the festivals that happen seasonally in all the areas, the e-commerce shops that are blossoming online.
Exactly. And I mean, and that's one of the reasons it's going to be one of the things that it's in my book. And that's what we were talking about yesterday, because the whole reason that I'm putting this book together is to demystify that whole world, because man, it is so confusing when you are first starting out, because a lot of the information that even with the internet that you find online is just inundated by all of this news of this big name artist with this gallery and this group suing another group. And it just there is this really, really high ticket item complication when it comes to the art world. And so you believe that unless you are selling items for $100,000 to $1 million, that you are a big fat failure. And the truth is that that's just not how it works.
Yeah, and you said something really impactful yesterday, which was that the day of the gatekeepers, the time of the gatekeepers is past. And what you meant was, as a musician needing to be signed to a label, as an artist needing to get into a place like Christie's, as a jewelry artist needing to get picked up by a big box store, as a blogger or a vlogger needing to have like a cable network television channel or be syndicated or something, those days are over because we can do it all ourselves these days.
Exactly. And I mean, and that's, I think that it's one of the reasons that there is so much mystery in the art world specifically, is because the gatekeepers have lost that power. And so they're doing whatever it takes to make it really scary. It's one of the reasons that one of those gatekeepers could say yay or nay, this art is good, that art is bad. It's almost like using insecurity and fear in order to control the assets that they have, because there's a lot of money involved. And whenever there's money involved, people are going to push to keep whatever power it is that they have. But the fact is that it's just an illusion because they're powerless.
Yes, is when big money is at stake, big grandiose statements and threats and imagery is used to try to retain control.
Exactly, exactly. And the fact of the matter is that we don't need a gallery. We don't need Christie's. We don't need critics to acknowledge our artwork, even though they will make it seem like that's what is necessary for you to create a successful art career as a full-time artist. The fact is that we don't need the gatekeepers. And it's gotten to the point where you could create your own following, your own collector base, and those same gatekeepers will come to you and you will become the new gatekeeper. And that's pretty much what I want to cover in the book. I want to talk about the techniques and the mindset in order to get to that place where you no longer feel like you're a small mouse running through a maze looking for the piece of cheese. Where at this point, you are the person who is looking down and acknowledging the full maze. You know what is going on as long as your mindset is where it needs to be.
So you're trying to kind of help people shift to the perspective of, as the creative, you are holding the cards.
That's right. You are holding the cards. You are the artist. None of the other stuff in the art world could exist without you. And that is something where the tables are turning now. Back in the day, the writers were the least of the people in Hollywood, and they were the ones that were writing the stories, coming up with the stories. The artists were the least of the people in the art world.
The scourge.
Yeah, the musicians themselves were the least of the people in the music world. The music producers and the music companies were the ones that were in control. The gallery owners and the Paris de Salon were the ones that were in control. You have publishing companies. They were the ones that were in control. And their control right now is absolutely and completely an illusion because they would not exist without the creatives that put them where they are.
Absolutely. And you said something else yesterday that really struck me, that the art stock market today is like the Paris de Salon.
Yep.
And their world is a safe world. It's a safe, calculated bets, you know, they're not really taking chances on emerging artists. They're basically trading well-established, most of the time deceased, reputable art that is a safe bet. But that's not how the art world evolves.
No, no, that is definitely not how the art world evolves. And unfortunately, in a lot of those galleries, I can't remember the name, but it's the big name gallery that's out there, big commercial gallery, that they have galleries all over the world. And a lot of artists think like, oh, I want to get signed up to that gallery because then I'll make a lot of money. And the fact of the matter is that some of the no-name artists that are getting signed to these galleries, basically what they end up becoming is almost like a reproduction line. Because the gallery sees a specific style of work that they know that works into the niche of what their customers are looking for. And then this artist needs to reproduce those works over and over and over and over because that's what's going to sell.
Right. So then it's, we need you to produce 500 pieces just like this.
Yeah. They need to be like this. They need to be like that. And the problem is that those galleries are able to target artists because artists are very insecure. They don't know. There's so much information out there that tells you that this is what it takes to be a real artist, or you need to listen to your gallerist, you need to listen to this, you need to listen to that. And the whole idea of being an artist has to do with self-expression and really, really communicating who you are and what it is that you want to communicate with the world out there. And a lot of the information that I found when I decided that I was going to do this professionally just didn't really resonate with me. And so in essence, that's what I'm doing. I'm writing a book that I would have liked to have seen the moment that I started my art career.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
with absolute and complete truth. The dirty, gritty, happy, the whole nine yards. Like, okay, well, listen, this is what you've heard and this is absolute and complete bullshit. Or this is what you've heard and this is how you could take this and turn it into your own thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do with that. And for the next few months while I'm putting the book together, essentially we're going to be talking about different parts of the book, different chapters and different things like that.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So in order to move forward from here, I would say that, A, given what I was experiencing this morning, don't beat yourself up too bad and just move forward and think to yourself, how can I make this the most awesome day that I can, no matter what it is that you're feeling?
Yeah, and I like to say, my day is restored. A lot of people are like, my day is ruined, but be willing to say, my day is restored.
Exactly. My day is restored. And the second thing from the podcast that I would say, that if there's any takeaway from this, is stop looking at the news that has to do with the art stock market. Whenever you're looking at those big ticket items, it doesn't have anything to do with the quality of the art. It doesn't have anything to do with even whether or not the art has that actual value to it. It has to do with the commodities market. And so if you are comparing yourself and your self-worth to that, you are really, really going to discourage yourself as an artist and think that it's an unattainable goal, when in fact that should not be your goal. Your goal is face-to-face, finding your collectors, letting your collectors find you, putting yourself out there. As a creative, that's what you do. You create stuff and you put it out there. You share it with the world. Yeah, a lot of artists are afraid to do that, and they'll make all kinds of excuses to, well, I'm not gonna, I'm a real artist, I don't share my work. But really, your art is meaningless unless you're willing to put it out there
and share it.
Yeah, and share it.
And don't be afraid to be a dynamic artist and go against the grain. I mean, the publishing houses, the Christie's, the auction houses, the record labels, they promote sameness and repeatability, marketability, the algorithms that work, but that's not how the mind of an artist is meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason they do that is because they're looking at trends and they're looking at the way that things, the things that were working, and they try to reproduce that. That's why when there's a movie out there that's super popular, next thing you know, you see a bunch of movies that are the same. Producers have no idea. They have no idea. Publishing houses, they have no idea. They don't know what the big next big thing is going to be, because if not, none of their movies or books or anything would have been a flop.
Right.
The fact of the matter, it is the creative that puts themselves out there in their own way. Even though they are trying to keep promoting sameness, it is that creator that gets through those ranks and does something differently that makes a big name for themselves. So you don't need them. They need you. So keep doing your own unique, beautiful thing, because, that's what we are. We're artists. We're meant to be rogue and unique and completely dancing to our own tune. That's who we are.
Yeah, yeah. And if you wake up in the morning and your tune sounds like, don't beat yourself up.
Don't beat yourself up. All right. And that's it, you guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this podcast. I know that it was a little all over the place because I started with my morning of Rafi beating himself upness. And it sounds like it's about to start raining, which means that we are going to say goodbye.
Have an awesome day, everybody.
Yeah, adios.